Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Wednesday, January 29th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 75, the second paragraph that begins, "We pocket our pride," and ends with "the spirit of the universe," and we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers, the 12 Steps, Marianne H., the 12 Traditions, Christina L. Readers of the text, Vanessa G. and Nancy P. Our backup is Penny C. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Karen W. A second hour host is Jeannie B., and announcements will be given by Kathy F. Thanks, everybody, for your service this morning. The share IDs for yesterday, Tuesday, January 28, 2025. For the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,115. That's 22115. And for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 22,116. That's 22116. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Mary Ann H. to please read the 12 steps.
12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admit that we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Mary Ann H. in New Jersey, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Mary Ann H. in New Jersey. And I'll now ask Christina L. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Christina L., recovering compulsive overeater in Florida, and here are the traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service this month. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, Christina Al from Florida. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter Into Action. We're on page 75. We'll be reading and commenting on the second paragraph that begins, we pocket our pride, and ends with the spirit of the universe. And I will now ask Vanessa G. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everyone who's been on the team this month. My name is Vanessa G., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. This is the reading. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel that we are on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. Wow, what a paragraph, right? To me, this is the essence of the personality change and the spiritual experience that we receive as a result of going through these steps. I do have to say, though, in my experience, although all of these promises in this beautiful paragraph have come true for me as I go through the steps, they didn't come to me at the end of step 5. I experienced them while I was doing my step 9s very strongly and very clearly. So I know that for other people in this program, because I've discussed it with them, they've had that same experience. These promises that are contained in this paragraph come true, later after the end of step five. But many people, and obviously the writers of this book, found it to occur right after step five. What I look at is that it is a beginning, and it does absolutely and completely happen at one point or another through the steps. I can't imagine being able to stay away from the food if these things had not happened to me. If I couldn't, you know, have had, you know, some type of sense of delight and joy in living once again, being able to look the world in the eye and being alone at perfect peace and ease, having my fears fall from me, and recognizing that my food problem was somehow removed. This is something that I have. It's hard for me to even enunciate, you know, the spiritual experience, the personality change. It's so all encompassing, and it's so changing, life changing, life giving, and I am profoundly grateful for it. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa G., for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might have their might share their experience as well. So if you've shared on Monday or Tuesday on any of the vision meetings, we ask you to hold back this morning. Who would like to share on what was read?
Priscilla Hitch. Melissa.
Janet B.
Harlan
Hay.
Janet B.
Okay. I heard Harlan Janet. I heard Nancy
P.
I heard Priscilla. I heard
Nancy
P. I think I heard Melissa C.
Leia.
Carolyn
B. Leia. Tony.
Carolyn S. from New York.
Christina J.
Carolyn S. I'm going to stop at Christina.
Elizabeth
okay,
D.
everybody, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you who I have, and everybody will have to probably tell me the first initial of your last name. I have Priscilla and Harlan, Janet, Nancy P., I think Melissa C., Leia, I think Leia S., Tony B., Carolyn S., maybe, and Christina J. Did I miss anybody in that lineup?
Elizabeth D.
Elizabeth D.?
D as in Donald.
Terrific. Okay. So Priscilla and everybody, please remind us of the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from. Priscilla, you're up, followed by Harlan.
Thank you so much, Priscilla H. Happy to be calling in from New Jersey. And I've been waiting for today because there's a sentence or so in the middle of this paragraph that is my life story in 30 words or less with a couple of little adjustments. I'd like to read it. We may have had certain spiritual, I want to say religious, beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. We feel we are walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. I grew up in a family that did the typical religious rituals of the Deep South at that time, go to church without fail, and try to live by whatever was being taught there. And my family did that. But for me, there was something deep and serious about religion. I went through the rituals, and I had one bright light experience of a powerful connection with God in my adolescence. I went to a little church-related college, and I majored in religious education. I got married. I had four kids, and I longed for a sense of connection with God. I had periods of deep depression sprinkled among periods of less depression. I became more and more religiously obsessed. Finally, it all fell apart as it had to. I became an atheist. I packed up my little Toyota Rabbit and I ran away from home. I divorced husband number one and I left my four kids. You might be able to tell that I've written this out because it was so important to me. Now I've got to fast forward through addictions, several addictions, some 12-step recovery, a marriage number two, widowhood, and now living basically alone, though it's a sort of a little mother-in-law apartment. The COVID epidemic, as horrible as that was for people all over the world, it brought me to vision because my face-to-face meeting shut down. And now finally, after some 30-plus years of 12-step recovery, quote, in quotes, recovery, in quotes, and a lifetime of, quote, religious beliefs, I am now having a spiritual experience at age 88 and a half. I have a conversation pretty much all day, every day, with the entity that I call my BFF, my best friend forever, through the actual close study of the AA Big Book. And sometimes my arguing with the AA Big Book, but my conversation with the Holy Presence, the Spirit of the Universe, the Word God, as some people choose to use that word. So with that, I'll pass, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Priscilla H. from New Jersey. And Harlan G., you're up, followed by Janet B.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Thanks for your service. And thanks, Priscilla, for getting us started. All of my life, I have felt very, very different from other people. I have felt that they were into some knowledge pool that I was excluded from. I was very ashamed of my mother. My mother had mental illness. My mother had physical illness. My dad was way older than the other dads. My dad was older than some of their grandparents. He was 54 years old on the day I was born. He was 60 when I entered kindergarten, or 59 when I entered kindergarten, 72 when I graduated high school. When I did these steps, there was something that became very clear to me, and that 5 and 9 for me are the great emancipators. I call 5 and 9 the great emancipators because 5 and 9 make me feel like another person among people, another bozo on the bus. A person among people is one of the greatest feelings I can feel because I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be on the sidelines of life. I want to be accepted by myself. I was always accepted by other people to some degree. I had friends. I was an object of ridicule. Yes, I was morbidly obese. I was horribly, horribly obese. But I always had friends. I always had people that did love me very much. But self-acceptance was something that I sought my entire life. And 5 and 9 give me that. Very, very important that they do, that we can look the world in the eye. I knew how to look down at you because I judged you to be an imbecile. I knew how to look up at you because I thought you were better than me. And maybe if I cultivated some kind of relationship with you, you would let me in on all the secrets of the universe. And where it says here, we can be alone at perfect peace and ease. We can look the world in the eye, be alone. That means I am feeling my God. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. And the more I accept myself as a human being, the closer I get to God. And the closer I get to God, the more I accept myself as a human being. It's very, very important for me to feel that way because it is the most comfortable feeling. And when I feel that way, my brain, oddly enough, does not focus in on this intense need to eat pizza, to eat candy, to eat French fries, whatever that may be. And when I don't feel the need to eat these things, my life gets better and better. There's one other thing I want to point out, and that is this step is not the end of the line. I have to keep going. The key for me is to keep going. The OA that I came into on February 2nd, 1979 was a program of three steps. I have to follow through. I have to work them all and work them all every day. And unless I'm willing to do that, these feelings of peace and ease will dissipate very, very quickly. Thank you, Lisa, for your service. I want to hear what Janet has to say and the rest of you have to say. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Harlan G. from Arizona. And Janet B., you're up, followed by Nancy P.
Hi, good morning, Lisa. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So, yeah, that line, we may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. And that was me. When I came in, I already had spiritual beliefs. I always believed in God from my earliest memory. I was taught about God. I believed in God. So what? It meant nothing to my life. I was a horrible person. Put aside the fact that I couldn't stop binging, couldn't stop throwing up. I was a horrible person. I remember in college, if people weren't paying enough attention to me, I would like take a razor and cut myself and pretend I'd been mugged or raped. Or when I was dating, I would call guys either a GC or an MT, a good catch or a meal ticket. I was a vile person. And I worked these steps, and my spiritual beliefs grew into a spiritual experience where God stopped being my genie, like come out of your bottle and grant me my three wishes, remove my compulsive eating, make this boy like me, and then go back in your bottle and leave me alone. That was my belief in God, but it changed to a spiritual experience, which our book talks about on page 25. It revolutionizes our whole attitude toward life, towards our fellows, and God's universe. And the central fact of our lives is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is miraculous, that God comes in and changes me so that I care about other people, so that I stop being so self-centered. And then what's the next part of his spiritual experience? He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do for ourselves. And that's what it says right in this paragraph, right? Right after it talks about a spiritual experience, as a result of that spiritual experience, as a result of my honesty and confessing my shortcomings, allows God to come in and do a renovation job on my heart. And then what's the result? The feeling that the drink problem or the food problem for us has disappeared will often come strongly. My obsession with food goes away the more I'm honest, the more I help others, because that allows God to come in and do his work of changing my soul. And look at just the last sentence of this promise. We feel we're on the broad highway, walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. So it goes from a belief in God to a feeling that, like, God is, as someone just put it, my BFF, my creator, my sustainer, my all. And this is only step five. We're not even halfway through. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Janet B. from North Carolina. And Nancy P., you're up, followed by Melissa C.
Hey, good morning. Nancy P., recovering in Westmead, Massachusetts. Thank you for letting me share. So, I mean, the steps go in order for a reason. And the idea, when I was at step one, I'm always at step one, but when I decided that I wanted to really get better, I couldn't even look beyond where I was. I didn't look at the horizon. I looked at my feet to make sure they were pointing forward and moving. That's all I could do. And I found out that when it came time to step five, I was able to write down, everything that I had done with caveats. My sponsor told me to say, if it wasn't no fourth grade teachers or high school boyfriends, unless I thought about them every day, every single day, only my life today. So that chopped it down to a manageable task. And, I can say for me, I'm agnostic. I say that all the time. I want people to know, and I know I'm not the only one because they all call me, but my fears didn't fall from me. I didn't begin to feel the nearness of my creator. I don't care about that. But I can say that I'm more of the, on page 47, when it says, afterward, we found ourselves accepting many things which then seemed entirely out of reach. That afterward to me, I was told, means after step 11. And what I was looking, what I have been looking for and what I continue to look for and guard what I have is that I want my mind to be at rest. I don't want to be frantically, you know, searching for something. I don't want to be, you know, tangled up, you know, in my own underwear, as my dad used to say. I want to be able to move freely. I want to be able to be happy, joyous, and free. And, you know, I can say that my experience with these steps, as Janet just said, sorry, someone just said, you know, when we have way more in front of us than we do behind us. I do at this point. And I can say from, you know, lived experience that all I have to do is what I had, what I could only do in the beginning. Keep my eyes on my feet. Make sure they're pointed forward and that they're moving, and that's it. And, you know, I have not had to hurt myself with food since the day I dialed into this meeting over 7 years ago. I couldn't go 7 minutes without eating, cheating, hiding, sneaking, and lying, but especially the eating part. And, you know, today I don't think about food. I don't think about this spiritual experience that I, or this spiritual life that I have, because, you know, a fish doesn't know it's wet. It's so around me. It's so much a part of me that the only thing that I am so grateful, I am so bubbling over with joy, you know, every breath, and that I don't need to, I just live in that space and constantly think about what I can do to, maintain it. And the main thing that I can do to maintain it is just what it says in the 12th step: guard my spiritual awakening, carry the message, and help other people. And you know, I can say that I didn't think about the food problem having disappeared. I never think about that until I get to like this step in this paragraph, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's not really a problem for me anymore. It could be a problem. Like, it's not like it's disappeared. I know where it is, but It doesn't affect me the way that it used to. And I can't begin to say how grateful I am. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. And Melissa C., you're up, followed by Leah.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York. And this is like, I always say this, but this really is one of my favorite paragraphs, because this is where I really began to feel the nearness of my Creator. And, you know, like many people, I didn't know that that's what I was looking for until I found it, you know. And so my, you know, I want to share my personal experience with a fifth step where I revealed it all. You know, it says here, like, withholding nothing. And that was always the thing that I struggled with, because I would always withhold just a little something, never telling somebody everything, my entirety. And really what happened for me was I did a fifth step that wasn't thorough. And when I was asked to sit and meditate and reflect and see if I had revealed everything, I had this realization that there was a piece of my story that I never revealed, and I needed to. And I contacted my sponsor, and we met after a face-to-face meeting. We met in the church upstairs in this church in Cornwall, New York. And we sat there together, and I told her a piece of my story that I had been walking around with tremendous guilt and shame over. And there was something incredible that happened that day. When I felt my nearness. I felt God with me. I felt unafraid. I told her everything, all the guilt that I'd been walking around with, all the shame, all the things that I had done or been actually walking around thinking, because a lot of it was in my head, you know, real or imagined. And my sponsor at the time looked at me, and, you know, I know I could say this to you guys because you're believers, right? We're believers. That's what this is about. And my sponsor looked at me, and I believe she was a messenger. You know, her eyes, she met my eyes with her eyes, and she said to me, I know that I'm not God, but I just have the feeling that you really are forgiven. And the world never looked the same. You know, like I could be brought to tears. What happened? I walked outside that church today. That day, I looked up at the sky. The sky looked different. The trees against the sky looked different. I had that spiritual experience, and I felt the nearness of my Creator. And I have to tell you that I have continued to have those kind of experiences every time that I practice humility. When I like pocket my pride and I go to it and I get honest, not with every single person in the world, but at least with someone. And, you know, and with that, yeah, the food problem has been removed. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. from New York. And I think it's Leah S. You're up, followed by Tony B.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. And it says, we pocket our pride. What do you mean we pocket? Pockets are usually hidden. And I had gone through such pain in doing the fourth step. Nobody talks about that. Why is it so hard for me? Because there was pain in there. And then here in step five, I'm revealing all that pain. And I'm all of a sudden understanding how I always reached for the food. And that pain was associated with the food. I looked the world in the eye, and it means to me that all of a sudden, suddenly, things started becoming a little bit more clear. And when the truth faced me that all these things were the things that I ate over, and that it had, you know, it had nothing to do with the food. It, you know, emotions and life are life. Nobody promised me, and not even in the fifth step, that my problems are going to be solved. And yet there was such an ease, and like, if you would say, a putting down of that burden, secrets or whatever it is, that made me go into a completely new experience. And that experience, I couldn't explain it except that a higher power has entered my heart. And it wasn't with the food. It was something that if you don't experience it, you cannot understand it. That all of a sudden, that craving was lifted. It was more about life and dealing with life. And there's one more thing I want to point out, that I looked the world in the eye, that all of a sudden I was crying about real tears about my emotions and about everything else that went on in my life and that had always been given out. In other words, spanked with the food. And that's what I used to do, spank myself and hurt my body with the food. And I no longer have to do that. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Leah S. Tony B., you're up, followed by Carolyn S.
Hello, good morning. Thank you very much, Lisa, for your service, and thank you, everybody. Wonderful shares this morning. My name is Tony B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Scotland. Oh, what a paragraph. Beliefs turned to experience. You know, the problems disappeared. And what did we do? We confessed. We put pride aside, and we trusted that this just might work. And that leap of faith, that belief that this might work, you know, God comes to us. I mean, it's that we you know, we walk to God and he runs to us, and we've taken action. We go to it. You know, that's action. And it's the first real action, though we've written our inventory. This feels to me like, you know, the first real action where we go to somebody else. And, you know, we do this small action. It's not easy, but it is pretty straightforward, you know, share it. And yeah, God runs to me. And I don't know why. I don't know why it works to bring another person in this way, but it does. You know, another human being needs to be in the mix here. And yeah, it makes me think of God can work where there is honesty and where two or three meet together. Something just happens when people get together with this purpose in mind and with real honesty. And there's no more shame, you know. I don't have to hide. I'm on the broad highway in the light, illuminated. I can be seen, nowhere to hide. I'm not off in the undergrowth. I'm out in the open. And it takes work to keep from not veering off the road again, you know, and to stay in the light. And I need to keep illuminating my twists of character and dark crannies where the beasties can multiply. You know, I need to keep shining light, and I need to keep bringing another person in. And I certainly experienced doing fifth steps and feeling a great relief, but then not continuing and for the build up to happen again. And then, yeah, I'm back in the dark. So thanks very much for letting me share, and I love you all very much, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony B. from Scotland, and Carolyn S., you're up, followed by Christina J.
Hi, this is Carolyn S. from New York. Very grateful to be on the line this morning. Another great paragraph in the book, which is full of nothing but great paragraphs, really. To pocket our pride. And it tells us we can look the world in the eye. And I did feel that the several times I've taken step five, but I'm not done. And if I'm going to continue and, you know, maintain this spiritual connection, there's a lot I have to do on a daily basis. And I could look at it and say, oh, it's too much work. It's too much time. And then I can think of all the time I spent planning my binges, you know, and carrying them out and hiding the evidence, and the misery I had in between the binges. I mean, that was no life. I was raised in a religion, but not really. We kind of checked the bases. And I was kind of proud of my inner agnosticism because, you know, I was too smart for the opiate of the masses, meaning, you know, people who have horrible lives, you know, living in poverty and everything else, and are told, you know, be good and next time it'll be better. And that just seemed like a way for the, you know, the richer, more powerful people to keep everybody else down. I had a million reasons why God either didn't exist or didn't care. You know, the Crusades, the Black Plague, the Holocaust, even crib death, which I have friends who've experienced. Why? Why am I a compulsive overeater? I just have to accept that I am powerless, but I am not hopeless because I found a God. And now I do. I look to see where religious people are right. You know, I mean, can all the religious people in the world be completely wrong? I don't think so. And you know what? If they were, they had a level of peace and joy that I did not experience. And so, you know, I'm talking to my parents, well, my mom in particular, more now about, you know, what comes next, if anything. She's almost 89. My dad is 99. My dad doesn't believe there's anything. My mom isn't sure. And I said, well, you know, the way I look at it is if I've spent my whole life believing in God and having a better life as a result, and then I die and find out I was wrong, or just not find out anything because it's the end, I will have lived my life in a calmer, more selfless way. I will have practiced my gratitude and had a a sense of being loved and protected. And you know what? I'll take it. That's good. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you, Carolyn S. from New York. And Christina J., you're up, followed by Elizabeth D.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina today. This paragraph speaks to me of something, a great gift. Unjudged honesty. Unjudged honesty. How many years was I ashamed of my food problem, especially my food problem? How many years did I live in fear, judgment, selfishness that I didn't know about, self-centeredness and dishonesty? Dishonesty was a huge, huge knife in my gut continually. It was tied down and locked down in myself. I had spiritual beliefs, and I just began to have a spiritual experience when I did my first step, fifth step. I just began to feel the nearness. I just began to know that the drink problem, the food problem had disappeared briefly, because I've been through relapse after relapse after relapse. So throughout my relapses, I've been ashamed and wanting to hide, not wanting to say my truth. But this paragraph gives me a gift of unjudged honesty. So sharing all these vulnerable things, why should I be so afraid to tell my sponsor about picking up? Terrified that I failed again. There is no failure in this program. There is only growth. I was riddled with a little girl inside of myself, and still am, that was afraid of everything. I'm expecting one fifth step to take that away? I don't think so. I've been in since 2015, and I have grown exponentially in this program. I've grown so much, and I'm so proud of the way I've grown. I'm seeking a deeper walk with the spiritual creator, and I'm discovering things that are glorious. I'm letting go of self every day. And I get to do my 10th and 11th, and I get to be honest with my sponsor, unashamed, unjudged, unguilty. I lay it all down every day. God picks it up for me and takes it away. So this is just the beginning for some of you that are just doing it for the first time. I have done many methods of spirituality, and food was definitely a method to reach comfort. And insecurity and everything that I didn't know how to get. That method is slowly leaving me. And I'm picking up this method more and more and more every day. This 12 steps is a method to freedom. And every spiritual text you pick up, I guarantee you'll say, oh, that's just like what's in the big book. That's just what's like in the big book. And at the essence of every spiritual teaching I've ever read is being of service to others. Once you clean your own house and you can give of what you've been given, you want to be of service to others. For me, if I'm not to others, I live in selfishness. So this is a beautiful step, and just like halfway through, like one of our other members shared. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. from North Carolina, and Elizabeth D. Please share with us.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes.
Good morning. My name is Elizabeth D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area, recovered but not cured. What a wonderful meeting this has been so far. Heard so many important shares that it's hard for me to imagine that I could add to the wisdom I've heard. But when I look at this, let me try to share my own experience, which is very recent, actually. I had experience yesterday that resonated with this step. First of all, I believe strongly that, and this has been only my experience, that the steps should be worked in sequence in order for them to have maximum impact. So step 1 through step 12 in sequence. We are now at step 5. And so I believe in that strongly, but I also, for me, am finding that now that I have done the steps all the way through and I'm living in 10, 11, and 12, I'm living in this paragraph. every day, but only when I use these tools that I read in this paragraph. I pocket my pride and I go to it. I illuminate every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Yesterday, I had to write out what was bothering me about a person in my life, and I wrote it all out in detail. And then I examined where was I being self-seeking, and what came up from my higher power while I was in prayerful writing was just how manipulative and selfish and how much I was managing my own image and the jealousy. I could see it right there. And, you know, it doesn't matter how long I've been abstinent, how many days I have in. I'm still human and I am still prey to these emotions. And yet I wrote it all out and I anticipated that I would be giving it away to my sponsor today, this morning, which I will be doing in about 20 minutes. And so I did that and I put it all down and I went to work. I'd started my work day. And about a couple of hours later, I realized, oh my gosh, you know, the food thoughts and the thinking about food that I had in a restaurant the night before were completely gone, and I could not relate to those thoughts anymore. The drink problem, in my case, the food problem and the drink problem, had disappeared as a result of picking up the spiritual toolkit that's at my disposal every single day and working it. And now what I love about this paragraph is that there's two things. I pocket my pride, but also I can also look the world in the eye. So it's that perfect place of humility in the center of those two things, pride, and I can stand in front of the world.
Like time?
Any bozo on the bus. That is perfect humility, and that is what I find, not all the time, but on and off as a result of picking up this spiritual toolkit in abstinence, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth D. from Massachusetts, and it looks like we have time for two or three more shares. Page 75, the second paragraph.
Linda.
Who else?
W. from North Carolina.
T. Washington State.
Henrietta Rodenberg.
Somebody,
Natalie.
Okay. Mignette. And then was somebody W.
Ben W. from North Carolina.
Ken? Did you say Ken?
Ben. B-E-N.
Oh, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Okay. This is what I have, and we'll see how much time. If y'all want to take 2 minutes, Mignette, Ben W., and Henrietta. So, Mignette, please tell us the first initial of your last name. You're up.
Do you think Mignette could have been Lynn S.?
Oh, it sure could have, Lynn. You just go right ahead.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. You know, when I did my first fifth step, this didn't happen. I didn't feel the nearness of my creator. I didn't feel any of that stuff, and I kind of felt gypped, I must admit, and I went, dag nabbit, you know, that didn't happen for me. And I did it again, another step five, you know, whenever, and still not so much. And then it did happen. On the next step, this step, it did happen. And what was the difference, Lynn? What was the difference? Before, I was approaching program as a tick off the box exercise. Step five, yep, done, yep, let's get moving. Okay, yep, that's done. Now what's next? And that attitude didn't work for me. I'm not saying quickly doesn't work for me. What I'm saying is the attitude of, let's get moving here. I got a job to do. We're going to tick off the box. There was no heart in it, Lynn. There was no, let's really do this now. It was simply an exercise. There, that just hit me. It wasn't a spiritual exercise. It was an exercise to be done, to be completed, to get this done and out of the way. That has never, ever worked for me in program. But when I approach it with my heart and my soul, or even just with my head, when I approach it, but not as an exercise to get this done and get this out of the way, but to truly embrace as best as I can where I am, the essence of the step. This is a spiritual program. It's all about connecting with God. And when I put that as my motive in doing this, the whole world opens up to me. And yes, I began to feel the nearness of my Creator. I am so grateful for this program, for the ability to have people help me put my hand in God's hand. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn S. And Ben W., you're up, followed by Hanietta.
Great, thank you. This is Ben W. from North Carolina. I am new to OA Vision for You, and I'm working with a sponsor. But I wanted to say, I find this to be a very poignant paragraph, especially the sentence that says, "Eliminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past." And putting this with step one, we admit that we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Since I was a child, I was what I always thought was a spiritual person, a good person. However, this has recently been extremely clarified that how arrogant, selfish, and even nasty I become. My life is really unmanageable in ways I had never thought. And when I started, you know, getting into the 12 steps, and it's 12 steps for a reason, not just one step, I thought, hey, I've got this. I'm not far off the path. But the illumination into my character and beginning to see into those crannies, and it has been powerfully humbling. It's really stunning to see I'm not the person that I thought I was. And it's great that I finally see it, but I see that, you know, what I have done in my life, especially to people that are close to me, and having a path to go, having this fellowship with the shares are tremendous, and the positivity and the encouragement and direction of my sponsor. I look forward to the day when I can look back and just talk about recovery. But I'm very grateful for this fellowship, very grateful for this time, and thank you all, and I pass.
Thank you, Ben W. from North Carolina, and I think Hanietta R. from Texas.
Yep, that's me. I'm Hanietta R. from Texas, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in remission today. The shares today have been phenomenal, everyone, and I thank you all. And but I just did an oral four-step and fifth-step with I didn't know that's what I was doing, but reading this paragraph, I realized that that's exactly what it was, with a therapist. And we, for a wounded, a very sad, my English name is Cindy, a sad Cindy, and she was so wounded by a woman. And I was able to just release all the feelings that I had at that 12-year-old little girl that was so wounded. And it was definitely and I did withhold nothing. Everything that was in me was just spewed out. And I was at peace afterwards, in a more at ease than peace. And I did feel close to God. And I do believe it was a spiritual experience. And this paragraph just says it. It's just I'm just reading off of here, and I have not been so thinking about eating my next meal after my past meal right away, which I had been doing for a little bit before that. And I also finished a first draft, the first going through my second draft of the book that I'm writing. And
time.
When I looked at, oh, thank you. Anyway, I'm so close to God, and I'm so thrilled. Thank you for letting me share. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Hanietta R. from Texas, and thank you to everyone who shared this morning. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, January 29th, 2025, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,118. That's 22118. We'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Nancy P., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
I absolutely will. Thank you again, Nancy P., recovering in West Newton, Massachusetts. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past, give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.